Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 21 is where we'll start. There's a whole lot of Bible in Luke chapter 2. Amen? You ever get to reading that, you'll think, man, there's a whole lot took place in that. And there is. Amen? But I want to shed a light on a guy tonight that would go unnoticed in most Christmas plays and stories about the birth of Christ. But we'll learn a lot from him. Amen? Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Are you there yet? I hear a couple pages turning. I'll give you time. Y'all ready to learn something tonight? I love when you go to church and you leave knowing something. Amen? Luke chapter 21, or Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angels before he was conceived in the womb. 8 days. The number 8 is a healing day. It represents healing. It's when you're on the 8th day of your life, you have more healing principles in your body than any other time in your life. It's also the day that God ordained circumcision to all the Jews. The day that you would heal the fastest. That's pretty cool, isn't it? But Jesus was circumcised on the 8th day, just like every Jewish boy was. It's also the day that his father and his grandfather or any of the men in the family would get together and whisper over the name and then announce the fact that he was born. What an awesome day. But the father had already whispered to the mother what the name was already. His name's going to be Jesus. His father said so. Amen. Ain't that cool? I love little details like that because when John the Baptist was, his father, Zacharias was silenced because he questioned, but he was loose, his tongue was loosed. On the day of John's circumcision, they were saying his name, he said, there ain't nobody named that. God loosened the tongue of his father and he's saying his name was John. Amen, ain't that cool? Amen. That's just one of them things when you dig into the Word of God, you see that God's just an awesome God. And in this part right here, the name whispered, and you say, well, why didn't Joseph get to say it? Because Joseph wasn't his daddy. Joseph was his stepdad. And I'll still preach this. I'll preach this till the day I die. One of the most awesome callings in the Word of God, or one of the most awesome callings of a man was Joseph. What an awesome man Joseph is. If you can read in the Scriptures and study about Joseph, you'll find that God couldn't have chosen a finer man to be the stepdad to Jesus. You can tell right away. Most of us men, if somebody was to come to us and say, your wife's pregnant and she's pregnant of the Holy Ghost, you'd say, yeah, right. Amen? Boys, get your stone-throwing arms loose. We're going to have a target practice. Amen? But Joseph decided to put her away privately. He was just going to make no fuss about it. He was going to let her live her life. But God came to him and said, no, Joseph, don't do that. I want you to marry her. Do you know what kind of man it would took to get married to Mary? Yes, in a town like Nazareth. You know what happened. You know what's happened, right? That's old Joseph and Mary's son. That's an illegitimate son, Jesus. He didn't do it. He did it. Amen. Took her all the way up to Bethlehem. Birthed Jesus and raised him. We don't hear anything about Joseph after when he's 12 years old, after chapter 2. Silent ministry. I can't wait to get to heaven and meet the man. You know he's a carpenter, right? I don't want to get all into this. I wasn't even going to preach anything about Joseph, but you know he was a carpenter, right? Jesus handed me a piece of wood. Hand me another one. Hey, Jesus, if you don't mind, run over and get me a few nails. Did you see him running across the workshop? There's one board. Here's another board. Do you need a hammer? If you don't know, I'm talking about the crucifixion. Just a carpenter. Ain't it amazing that Jesus was raised in a carpenter's home, working with wood and tools that one day he'd probably be put to the tree with.
Amen? Pretty neat stuff. I don't know how I got off on Joseph, but I'm glad I did. Verse 22.
And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Imagine this. A week after having a baby, you travel 5 miles, either by on the back of a donkey or walking, up to Jerusalem to go through the ceremonial parts of the Mosaic law and to offer offering for Jesus, for him to be purified. Every boy that opened the womb, every child that opened the womb had to be purified. And Jesus was no different. I just think this was neat. Sometimes we think if we just get Jesus, the rest of it's over. Amen? You might want to write that down. We got Jesus. Did you see him over there in the manger? Jesus pops out. There he is. Joseph's probably running around like a mad cat going, I don't know what we'll do next. Amen? Mary's sitting there going, now we got Jesus. Now what do we do with him? We got the Son of God. We got God in our hands. We got Emmanuel. We got God with us. What do we do with him? I wonder which one of them decided, let's just do what all the other parents do. Is that good or what? Let's just do what all the other parents do. I guess God decided we were good enough just where we are. Let's just do like everybody else would do. Let's just raise him like a little Jewish boy here in the community. Let's just do it. We'll take him up to Jerusalem and we'll offer up what needs to be offered and we'll treat him like he's ours because he is. Goodness gracious, that's awesome, ain't it? God don't want you to be a superhero. He wants you to be you. Sometimes we keep thinking God wants us to do something over the top, something we can never do, and we're sitting around waiting for that miraculous thing to happen when he just wants you to be you and do what you can do. And you know what? You can do a whole lot more than you think you can. I love this stuff. Verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. You see that? They could have got an animal to sacrifice, but they couldn't afford it. Jesus was born in a manger, and on the sacrifice day, they gave up pigeons or turtle doves. That tells me a lot. Jesus has more in common with the poorest people in the world than he does the richest people in the world. You know that Jesus was more accessible to people than some of the rulers in this world. He was more accessible by the poor people than he was the rich people. They told the shepherds, go and see the boy, the Savior who was born today. Good news unto you. Amen. Hey, go up there, and guess what? They didn't have to go through any kind of security detail. They didn't have to go register anything. They just walked right up, and there they were. And that's really neat, because guess what? God knew that the better part of this world would need an accessible God. See, we're far removed from where most people are in the world today. In the world, most people are in poverty. And when you go to them and you talk to them about Jesus, that's why they can relate to him, because Jesus was born into poverty. Jesus, man, you know, we are known as in the South, we're known as the Bible Belt. Do you know why? Because we were poor at one time and broke and we didn't have nothing. And guess what? Be honest with you, that there was a big part of the world, in this part of the world, were slaves. And guess who would accept Christ quicker than anybody? Poor people and slaves. That's the way it always is. Remember when John the Baptist was in jail and he sent out, I love preaching about this, so he sent out a message. He said, "What?" He sent his disciples and said, ask Jesus if he's the very one or do we need to look for another one? Thank you, brother. I appreciate a little noise every once in a while. The thing I like about that is even John the Baptist, who was filled with the Holy Spirit from the day of his birth, who was the forerunner of Christ, every once in a while got the molly grubs. Oh, I don't even know if y'all have that term up here. Amen? He got to that place in his life where he was down in the dumps and he didn't feel good about what he was doing. He wasn't sure. Is there anybody in here that's just not sure of yourself every once in a while? And you just have to ask a question, God, are you still there? God? Do you still know my name? Are you hearing any of my prayers? Hey, I'm bouncing some off the ceiling. Are you catching any of them? John the Baptist, I'm talking about a man filled. He said, go out there and ask him. He said, go out there and ask him. Is he really the one? Jesus, he didn't get mad at him. You know what Jesus said? He said, go back and tell him. He said, people are being healed. The devils are being cast out. But the very last thing he said, and the poor, well, the gospel is being preached to the poor. It's one of the greatest things there is. He said, you don't have to do anything but preach the gospel to the poor, and they will accept it because it's a good deal. It's the best deal I ever had. Then he went on to say there was none greater born of a woman than John the Baptist. So you mean that guy that's up there in the prison? Yeah, he goes, wait, don't worry, boys. You'll get your shot at it. Golly, I love it, though. That's a good word. Amen? Now listen, let's get into this. They weren't very wealthy. They go up, they offer. Verse 25, here's a character that enters into the story. One of the sweetest characters in the whole Bible. I love him. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Man, when you read the Word, ain't this awesome? That God's got people. I mean, listen, write that down. Make a note somewhere. God's got people. I mean, they're just waiting. They're going to do more than you think they're going to do. They're going to do it. They're going to be about God's business. And sometimes we can get this idea that we're the only ones. I'm the only one working. I'm the only one putting up a trouble. And here's a guy, Simeon, that nobody even knows about. It's neat how this kind of combines together. I want y'all to see this. Sometimes God will encourage you, and He'll also feed you, and He'll also instruct you with people that you didn't even know that existed. Amen? Some of y'all do that for me. I hope y'all know that. And I try to do that for you. But at one point in my life, up to about a year ago, I didn't even know you existed. Amen? I drove by here several times and seen this church. I didn't know it was going to be full of people that I would come to love and know and have them encourage me and encourage them. I didn't know there was a bunch up here that was on fire for the Lord like you are. Y'all, that was an amen moment. Y'all could have. I laid that out there for you like a softball, and y'all still were like, all right then. But there's people. God's got people. And there's this man named Simeon who's full of the Holy Ghost. And he's just waiting. He was waiting on Jesus. I mean, he's sitting there and he's like, I'd like to see him on a daily basis. I mean, somebody said, why do you keep going to the temple? Why are you still hanging in there? Hey, old timer, why are you still coming up to the temple? He goes, one day, Jesus is coming in here. And when I see Him, I know that God's going to console. He's going to show me, and He's going to show the world that He is consoling Israel. He's consoling the whole world. I love the consoling, consolation. Yeah, I'll break it down for some of y'all. I remember at the TV shows, the person who didn't win, they would give them a, Betsy knows it, a consolation prize. That means you stink. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. I always wondered what it was. You'll get your consolation prize right behind the curtain. Sorry. God, I'm sorry I had to put it in there. But as soon as I seen consolation, I said, man, it's that prize that gives you, I didn't leave there with nothing. Amen? I did all right. I got a free ham, right? Look at that toaster. It's got 14 settings, honey. I didn't mess it up too bad. God, come on. God, there was a consoling. Jerusalem needed consoling. They needed their heart consoled. We needed our heart consoled. And He sent Jesus. And this guy was waiting. And I mean, he was full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, he was one of them guys who just believed and believed and believed. You ever met somebody who just keeps on believing despite their circumstances? Year after year after year after year. And somebody says, why does he keep going? Because he knows that God is good. I love this. Verse 26, and it was revealed unto him.
And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. Golly bum. Don't you wish you could get one of them deals? Did you get a promise? Come on, God, give me a good deal. But you got a good deal, amen? But he got it. He said, you're not going to die until you are ready to see Jesus. Until you see Jesus, you're not going to die. Man, I bet every day he got up and put his feet on the ground. He's like, hey, all right, I got another day and Jesus is coming. We need to be about that same attitude, really. Amen? We got another day and Jesus is coming. We don't know if he's coming tomorrow, but we need to act like he is. We need to act like he is. This man probably got up every day. Hey, this could be the day. This could be the day. And in one day, guess what? Eventually, it happened. And I'll read verse 26 again because I love just saying it. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, or in the child Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said. Now, ain't this cool? I think I was going to say this a minute ago, but I kind of want to get back into this. It's really neat how God works through people. See, Mary needed this. Joseph needed this. Amen? Just as much as Simeon needed this, they needed it. Because I don't care who you are, even if you birthed Christ and you've been through all that stuff, you need, every once in a while, you need to be encouraged. You need to see somebody. You need to hear. You need to be refreshed. Amen? Do y'all remember, I've preached it here. I preached it here last year. I did a Christmas series here. And I talked about how when Mary first became pregnant with Jesus, she went and stayed with Elizabeth. Remember when I talked about that? Does anybody? Just one? All right, good. Praise God. But anyway, remember, the angel didn't say, he didn't say to Mary, he didn't say, you have to go up and stay with Elizabeth. All he said was, he said, your cousin Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. Amen? That's all he said. What he was saying to her is, you can go back to Nazareth and stay, but you have somebody who's got a miracle child in them, and you could go get with them, amen, instead of staying here. Because what you're going to hear in Nazareth, amen, is going to be different than what you hear when you're with Elizabeth. Amen? You're going to get questioned. You're going to get tormented down here, and you're young. You're not showing yet. But when you start showing, you're going to need some strength. So you can go here and be strengthened, or you can stay here. Sometimes if you stay at God's business, you'll run into people who will encourage you, who will feed you, who will edify you. They might dig into you a little bit. They might give you some good critique. Never mind. There's some people that can be critical in my life. I don't mind that. If they love me, write that down. I don't mind somebody being critical in my life if they're criticizing me to help me. Whew. Now, that's tough. I'm just being honest with you. But if they're just criticizing me to criticize me or to knock me down, then I don't really appreciate it very much. Amen? But if you're criticizing to help me that I can be better, I can tell that and I'll listen to it. Amen? But you need people, man. When you're in this thing, you need God, and He will. He'll push people into your life that will absolutely just light your life up. Be it for a week, a day, a year, a month, whatever you need, but it'll be there. As long as you're staying at the business, staying, and they got Jesus with them, amen? So they're up there, and they got Jesus with them, and here this guy comes in, and he is on fire. He is just, man, this is awesome. I get to see the Christ, and he takes Jesus up and blesses him. And Mary and Joseph are standing there like, awesome. Somebody knows who it is. This is a good thing, amen? That we're not just carrying a child, amen? Y'all remember, I'll go back and preach this just for a moment because I want to, if that's okay. We ain't got nowhere else to be, right? Remember when Mary first walked up to Elizabeth's house? Remember? The babe left in her womb. I love preaching. Now, you can't go through Christmas and not talk about this a little bit. You know, but the babe left in her womb and she was filled with, he was with the Holy Spirit, but she got the Holy Spirit. And then she said, oh, blessed be the mother of my Savior. And blessed be the fruit of your womb. Man, all of a sudden she starts just popping out one blessing after another. And Mary's feeling a whole lot better than she would have if she had stayed down in Nazareth and heard, oh, how did this happen? You're a bad person. And instead of hearing that you're a bad person, you're hearing that you are blessed and highly favored and you're carrying the Savior.
Man, I mean, yeah, you need confirmation. Good word, absolutely. And then you get around that for 6 to 9 months. You can go home and put up with a little criticism from your neighbors because you've been fed and nourished and encouraged. And you can go back and say, no, I've been with somebody that had a miracle child. I have a miracle child. Say what you want to say because I know how this got in me. Amen. That's another thing about Mary. She's pregnant. I mean, she's all the way pregnant. She ain't got to argue about how she got pregnant. She knows whether she slept with somebody or not. She didn't. So therefore, she knows. She's sitting there going, hey, you can get mad at me, but I'm carrying Jesus. I mean, some of y'all need to make up your mind. If you're saved, you need to stop worrying about what people think about you. You should just tell them, hey, I don't know. I don't care why God chose me. I don't care why He didn't choose the third world person down in Africa. I don't care. He chose me, and therefore, I'm going to live for Him. Amen. Maybe you need to come here tonight and hear that. I don't know. There's old Simeon. He is fired up. He is excited. He scoops the baby up. He don't even ask. I don't know if it didn't say he had. He can give me that baby. All right. It's here. I'm holding it. I'm holding Jesus. I'm holding the Savior. What does he say next? It's one of the neatest things in the world. This is so cool. And verse 8, and he said, took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word. You know what he said? Ready to die. Seen enough. Hey, Lord, I'm good. Let me get out of here. I'm ready to check. Shoot me up. Amen? Hey, this is the attitude you can have as a Christian. I've seen Jesus. I've held Him. I know Him. I'm ready to die anytime. Now, some of y'all are sitting here looking at me. You got death? No, I don't have a death wish. I don't want to die. I don't want to be on the next loadout. But praise God, if I am, I know where I'm going. Amen. Don't sit down there and don't sit there and go, wonder what happened. God got tired of me toiling and messing it up down here, and He said, all right, son, come on home. I'll say it again. Some of y'all need to hear that. Death's not a demotion. God ain't mad at you. Beautiful in the eyes of the Lord are the death of His saints. Not the dying part, not how you die. That's what happened when sin entered the world. It caused us to die. But the minute you take that last breath, that moment you do, He's going to be standing there going, come on in. I've talked about this a million times. Y'all hear it. I got a dear friend named Tommy Tillman, and he ministers to lepers. And a lot of the lepers that he ministers to have no legs and no arms. They get together every single day and pray for all the people in America that support his ministry. They get around in a circle, and they all wear tank tops and shorts because they don't have no arms or legs. Somebody get all spiritual, but why are they wearing tank tops? It won't really matter. They ain't got no arms. God, never mind. I'm about to shout right there. They all get together in a circle. They ain't got no arms or legs. A lot of them don't even have no eyes or ears because they've done melted off. And you know what they do? They sit there and they pray and they say, thank you, God, that you sent a man over here to Mongolia and Thailand. Thank you for sending him here and telling us about Jesus, that we got saved. Not that you're going to heal us from this awful disease, that we're going to go into glory. Amen. And I said all that to say this. When you get to heaven and you see something going by the gates, the pearly gates, running at 100, and you keep thinking, what in the world's going by the gate that fast? It'll be some of those people that were eat up with flesh diseases. Somebody who was Melissa, ain't nobody listen to me. We're going to get to heaven, and there's going to be some people there who were paralyzed on this earth. And it's going to take you like minutes to figure out who they were. Say, who are you? I don't recognize you. I don't recognize you. And I'll say something like, well, when you see me on earth, I was crippled and I was humbled and I couldn't do nothing. But that's not who I am here. Man. Right? Yeah. There's some people I want to see. Tonight, at the beginning of this message, I kept thinking, wonder if the Holy Spirit will get in this message. I guess He did. But That's going to be the fun part. Amen? And that's why when you get into heaven, when you got there, you wouldn't be able to say something like, hey, why didn't you, do you want to come back? Do you want to be? No. Not even for a moment. Come see me. Live your life all the way out and then come see me. Amen? Golly. I could almost stop right there and it'd been fine. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit. Where am I at? Verse 29. No. And it came and it revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple and went, and the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took him up into his arms and blessed him. Let's skip on down to verse 30. For mine eyes have seen the salvation, verse 31, which thou hast prepared for the face of all the people. Verse 32 is an important verse. Let's break it down. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. Verse 32 should make you shout. It should. It's important. Because this man has not even seen the crucifixion or the resurrection, but he says something right here. He says, a light is always referenced to salvation, because before you're saved, you're sitting in darkness. Amen? Listen to this right here. A light to lighten the Gentiles. That's us. Amen? He says that before Jesus he's a baby. And he says it before he talks about the Jews. And I'm not saying he's preferring the Gentiles over the Jews. It's just amazing by the Holy Spirit that he includes us here, because he knew the whole ministry of Christ. Because he was under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't talking about Jesus coming to save the Jews or to set the Jewish nation free. He was coming to save the whole world. And he spits it out even before Luke chapter 2. We're not in yet. But we're in yet. Amen? God, never mind. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. Amen? God, he says, I'm so glad right there. Amen? I wish we could get under... If we really understood where we stood with God before the Calvary, before the crucifixion of Christ, you would praise God every day. Because some people say, well, I'm religious, I go to church, or I read the Bible, or I've done this. Listen, if you really understand it, there's absolutely nothing you could do as a Gentile to get into glory. Nothing. I mean, you could take off, I've never done this or I've never done that. It would be absolutely, you are out. But God says, by grace, you're in. By what I did, you're accepted. Man, that's so amazing to me. That God just puts me into a covenant that I don't even belong in. And this man just opens it up. Simeon, who's Simeon? Just an old fellow that hangs out at the temple waiting for Jesus. Probably not many people recognized him for years until Jesus comes. Now, here we are in 2016 talking about the man, because he opened up something to us around the Christmas story that we all need to hear. Verse 33 is great. I told you this is important for them. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. See that? It's good, right? They marveled. They were like, what they needed. They needed this. Sometimes as Christians, you just need somebody to bless you. Amen? That's why you come to church. That's why you come to church. To get a blessing, but also to be a blessing. Sometimes you'll say something to somebody, and you'll think it's because you're just saying something nice, but you'll say something like, hey, I love you, or God bless you, or man, it's so good to see you. And by that time, throughout the week, they've carrying so much garbage, and nobody said a kind word to them, but a brother or sister in Christ has put their, hey, I love you. I'm so glad you're here. I've been praying for you. That's amazing. Amen? You know how many times I've gotten text or messages or somebody from this church has said, hey, Pastor, I'm praying for you. I had a man come to me right after service today and said, hey, just keep plowing. You're doing a great job. We appreciate you. Keep on. You know what? After a message like this morning, knowing somebody should have come and got saved, it's hard to leave here. It's hard just to walk out the door and say, well, they'll get it somewhere down the road. I don't know if they will. But it's awful sweet to have somebody come and say, just keep doing what you're doing. It helped me. We need that kind of stuff. That's why you come to church. Some people say, well, I come to church because I'm going to go. You ain't got to go. But when you do come, you're help. Amen? Help others and be helped by others. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them, said unto Mary his mother, behold, the child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Oh. You hear what he said right there? For the rise and fall of many. He said some big stuff in this verse. I don't know if y'all know it or not. What he just said right there, is there's going to be some exalted to salvation. Someone's going to be saved. There's also going to be some people that are going to be, they're going to glorify God through their judgment of him. Amen? He's going to be a rise and a fall of many people. He's going to reveal the hearts of many people. But listen what he said right here. It's really powerful. I want y'all to get this tonight before you leave. Verse 35 is a confirmation of what Mary's supposed to do. Now, sometimes we don't like this, but God will give you hard news, but you can handle it when it comes from God. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. You know what he's doing? By way of this man and by way of the Holy Spirit, he was telling Mary, there's going to be a day that comes that you're going to be crushed. Your heart's going to be crushed. But I want you to remember, this ain't about you. And sometimes we got to remind ourselves that everything that goes on in this life is just not about us. I wish I could, I'll break this down. Some of you mothers will understand this, maybe some of you men too. But our kids, we got a plan for them. But God's got a plan for them. And we don't ever want them to be hurt. We don't want them to ever struggle. But then God's got a plan for them where they get hurt and they struggle. Amen? But he's saying, hey, kid, take your hands off of them. I got them. And you're sitting there going, I don't want to take my hands off of them. Right here, he's telling a mother, one day, you're going to have to keep your hands off of him. Because I'm going to save the whole world through him. And it's going to smash your heart. It's going to break your heart. But it's about saving a whole lot of people. Man, that's tough news. That's tough news. But she's prepared for it. And you say, why would you tell me something like that tonight? It's about Christmas time. Because let me tell you this. If you read this Bible and you pray and you come and you get a word, sometimes God reveals stuff to you before it happens and you can handle it a whole lot better than just walking flat up into it and then having to deal with it without Him or not knowing. And then you're praying. There's been a lot of times, and you can ask my wife, she's sitting right there, there's been a bunch of times where I have stood in some hard places. But 3 days, a couple weeks, I've tapped her. And I was like, honey, it's going to be some weird stuff happen. Just hang on. Amen? I mean, I can go one right here with you. I'm going to close. But we were at a boy's home, and it was about 3 months before it closed. And before we were going to go else, it didn't look like we were going to have a home. Didn't look like we was going to have a job. Didn't look like nothing. 3 months out, I told her, we had like 4 or 5 boys in a boys' home. We usually had 6. I said, this thing is going to end. She looked at me. She said, no way. I said, no way. Just don't worry. God's in it. Boy, 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 boy. And down the last boy. And the boy is like a lifer. He's going to be there forever. She's like, what about this boy? I'm like, before we can make it home, he ran away with another boy. Amen? All right, guess what? I go down to the police station. This kid has run away countless times. I went down to the police station. He's sitting at the police station. I sat down across from him. I said, hey, young man, let's get your stuff. Let's go back to the house. It's going to be all right. He goes, I'm not going with you. I don't even know you anymore. I said, hello. Hello. Come on, man. We can't. This is crazy. Let's go. I'm not going with you. I'm just not going to go. I looked at the chairman and said, well, what do we do? He said, if he won't go, he's going to YDC. I said, son, let's come home. He's like, no, I can't. I just can't. I went home, done all the paperwork, done all the stuff, talked to people. We're sitting in a six bed. We're sitting in a house six boys. The house is like it's huge. We're sitting there in the empty. I said, told you, just be ready. You know what I mean? But God is getting me ready for that. I didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but I knew it was coming. Amen? Now, God don't show you everything, but He'll get your heart ready. He'll get your mind ready and prepare you. That's what He's doing for Mary right here. Let's all stand. As they come get a song of invitation. Maybe you need to come pray. Maybe you don't. I don't know. We'll give you the opportunity nonetheless. I hope you've learned something. I hope you just come away with something tonight. Because when I was going over this,